We are joined right now by a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick Six podcast, and you know he's a very good friend of the program. The schedule for the upcoming NFL season is starting to trickle out. We get into that and some of the offseason movement. Will Brinson is my guest. Will, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I kind of like the idea of you being the leader of the jury, like the foreman of the jury, and just like delivering like kind of do it as a radio show with like scathing hot takes about various opinions jury members have.
Now, see, that's the thing, though. I appreciate you saying that, Will, but just like this show where the listeners think they're much better at it than me, there's no way those 11 would have been better at that than me, but they would have thought so, and I would have let them, but we'll never know, at least not for another year. So let me ask you this. We get the full schedule release, but we already know some games right now. Will, this morning, we get news of a Christmas Day game. Denver v. the Rams, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
Oh, man. I mean, first of all, it's great that we get the CBS synergy flowing through the show here and pumped to have those guys on the call, of course. But we also get to double down on Nickelodeon, which means we get Christmas Day slime. We get an MVP, which Russell Wilson is like the perfect MVP, where he would take it seriously, not be embarrassed like Mitchell Trubisky. And in all seriousness, from a football perspective, it's a great matchup. I mean, I think there's a non-zero chance that's who we see in the Super Bowl come the end of the year, because you look at the NFC and with the departure of guys like Russ and all this talent that's flooded over the AFC, the Rams have to be feeling pretty good about their chances to at least have a shot at repeating by getting back to the Super Bowl, because the conference is a little more watered down than it was last season. And then, as far as Russ goes, that Broncos team, we've been saying for 2 or 3 years, all they need is that quarterback, and they're going to take a huge step forward. I do have some reservations that Russ will come in and just, dominate out of the gate, but he's the type of guy that puts a chip on his shoulder where, he's been ditched by Seattle. There are people who are questioning whether he's still, a top-tier, elite-level quarterback. And he's got the weapons on that offense in Denver. Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton. I mean, they got, KJ Hamler's coming back. They got some guys they can cook with. And I think we'd see a pretty good season from Russ. It wouldn't shock me if he made a deep run.
Will Brinson's joining us. Will, you hit on two things I wanted to ask you about. Are the Rams a good value? It sounds like you think so. And we talked, or I was going to ask you about Denver with Russ. What about Seattle? Seattle did not draft a quarterback. They did not trade for one of the vets who were on the market. Last week, Pete Carroll was saying things like, if Drew Locke were in the draft this year, he would have been the first quarterback taken. Now he's saying that Geno Smith is the first-ring quarterback. What have you made of how he and they are handling their quarterback situation, and how do you think it ultimately plays out there?
I mean, in all honesty, Jim, there's nothing worse than doing radio hits and being asked about Seattle, because I have no idea what they're doing. Like, I don't get what they're doing.
I'm not sure they do either.
I know, right? I mean, Pete Carroll's a 72-year-old, very energetic Silver Fox guy, but he's still older, and I don't know that he's, is he there for a full reboot? We understand that this team wants to, my best guess is that they want to try to recreate, the 2011, 2012, 2013 run, which is nice in theory. But the problem is you have to land a bunch of late-round picks that blossom into elite defenders. You have to get a guy like Earl Thomas on your team. You have to get a guy like Russell Okung on your team. Do you then have to land a third-round pick as a potential budding game manager franchise quarterback type? And everything has to – you need beast mode in there too. And so, I think they're trying to run it back the way that it worked originally. And to do so with Drew Locke and Kenneth Walker – and a better offensive line than they've had the last few years, but also I just have questions about the defense and the run game, because you want to be a great defense and you want to be a lethal run game, but I'm not sure that the pieces are all there to pull it off. And all credit to Pete Carroll is a great head coach. If they pull it off, more kudos to him, but I just don't understand what the plan is.
I agree with you, Will. I think that he's got great energy for a guy his age, or anyway, very, very good head coach. But rebuilding around a 71-year-old head coach instead of a 33-year-old quarterback, who I think has got game left, to me is kind of curious, to say the least. Will Brinson joining us. Will, what do you think the next few months are going to look like for Baker Mayfield?
Jim, I thought, speaking of Seattle, too, Baker did that interview whatever podcast that was, and apologies to the guy, I think he's famous, but you know, he did the podcast with him, and his dog's like laying there on the couch looking comatose, and Barry's like, well, yeah, you know, a few weeks ago I would have said I'm going to the Colts, but now it's probably just going to be Seattle. And then Pete Carroll the next day goes out and signs Geno Smith as if to send a message to Baker Mayfield, like, you're not just coming to Seattle, buddy. And, I mean, I think it's going to be weird for Baker because the Panthers clearly got involved with the Browns during the draft and did the same sort of thing that Seattle did when it became apparent that the Browns were not willing to, you know, negotiate at a reasonable level. The Panthers walked away and then just promptly drafted Matt Corral and said, we're out of the Baker sweepstakes. So now there's almost nowhere for him to go where he would actually be a starter or compete to be a starter in 2022. I think it's possible it ends up actually being a you know, quote unquote good thing for him. Like let's say Tampa Bay says, all right, you know, we got Tom Brady, you know, we drafted Kyle Trask, we have Blaine Gabbert there, but you know, maybe Baker is a great reclamation project to sit behind Tom for a year and they go and get him. I don't know that they'll trade for him. I think at some point the Browns are just going to have to like eat the cost of having traded for Deshaun Watson and realizing that you can't bring Baker Mayfield to camp and have him compete with Deshaun Watson and have him out there. It's just a weird message to send. It's just a weird look for everyone involved, and it's hard to imagine them trying to pull that off.
I agree with you. Will Brinson joining us. That's going to be that is like the worst case scenario, and you know they weren't thinking that that was even a possibility, yet here we are. Will, what about your expectations for Trey Lance this season? How do you see the 49ers handling that throughout the year? Or actually throughout the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, Jim, is actually a little bit easier than the Baker situation because, you know, we know the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan specifically, and Debo Samuel, by the way. Like, I wouldn't sleep on Debo's love for Jimmy G as part of the reason he wants a deal. I think that they can say, okay, Jimmy's hurt. We can't trade him. You know, they have the problem with the salary cap issues of, you know, needing to sign their draft picks, although they don't really have a bunch of high draft picks that will cost a lot. They have less than $1 million in salary cap space. They'd love to trade Jimmy and roll with Trey, I think. But the problem is, you know, you don't want to just let Jimmy G go for free when he's a reasonable cost, you know, high-end veteran. A team like the Panthers, I think, would still like to get Jimmy Garoppolo in there. You know, maybe there are other teams that would be interested in bringing him in to compete. I think the Seahawks would like to sign him as a free agent. I can't see those two teams trading. I think the 49ers will let this play out as long as they possibly can and keep him on the roster and let him get healthy and see if they can deal him. And if they can stay under the salary cap and get into training camp, I wouldn't be surprised if they just let him compete with Trey Lance and push him a little bit, because I still have at least a little bit of reservation that Kyle Shanahan is completely comfortable with going all Trey Lance this season.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. Will Brinson joining us on there. There's any doubt about that. Let me ask you about the Bills. Will, they had their hearts ripped out, of course, in the final 13 seconds against Kansas City. We've seen some teams suffer a loss like that, I mean a gutting loss like that, and never bounce back. How do you see Buffalo responding?
It'll be interesting because it looks like, Jim, and the great Sam Farmer of the LA Times reported on, I think today, actually, that the Bills are likely going to be the opener against the Rams on the Thursday night game to kick off the NFL season. Huge game, right? A fun game. And then the Bills are going to be part of the Monday Night Football doubleheader against the Titans the following week, which we already know is going to go down. So, you know, they got to be ready to get off the mat and perform. You know, I think there are two things that maybe, like, when you think about what happened with the Bills last year. One, I thought, you know, Bill Belichick in that first game where he went full Navy on them and ran the ball down their throats, and then Sean McDermott lost his cool about Belichick coaching them up, and then the next week, you know, they're down big to Tampa, and he's like crying to Tracy Wolfson at halftime for some reason. You know, that was like, man, is this team soft and fragile mentally? Because that would be really surprising. But then they managed to rally and get it all together and make that deep playoff run. So I think they'll bounce back. You know, they're a team that Brandon Bean's done an incredible job building out that roster. McDermott's a very good head coach, and Josh Allen is just a stud. The one reservation I'd have about Buffalo is that Brian Daboll leaving. You know, Ken Dorsey, by all accounts, going to be a great offensive coordinator, but, you know, will there be some bumps in the road to start, particularly with these high-profile games and that transition as offensive coordinator?
Well, Brinson, my guest. Well, one last thought. Philadelphia brought in A.J. Brown during the draft. Given how they turned their season around last year, what do you make of the roster going into this season, and how high do you think their ceiling is?
So, I'm a I mean, everybody likes him, but I'm AJ Brown is like up there, like in the hierarchy of players I love, with members of my family. And Jordan Davis is maybe my favorite player in this draft class. So the Eagles got outstanding marks for me on day one for their moves. And frankly, Jim, I went and bet them during the first round of the draft to win the NFC East, to win the NFC, and to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't think that's happening. You know, it's a bit of a long shot, like 35-1 to win the Super Bowl, and I think 18-1 maybe to win the NFC. But when you look at the conference, I mean, and you look at the division, like specifically, you know, Dallas didn't get a lot better this offseason. If anything, they got worse. The Giants have made it clear, you know, with this latest move. Like, I like what the Giants have done, but they've made it clear they are rebuilding. And then Washington's trotting out Carson Wentz. I mean, I feel like the Eagles, 2-1 or more to win that division is great value. And you get in the dance, and I know people are down on Jalen Hurts, but the guy's improved, I feel like, since he got to the NFL. You know, he settled into one system, and they have a ton of depth on the offensive line and defensive line. Like, they are – like, Jordan Davis is probably not going to play 100% of the snaps for him. Andre Dillard, their former first-round pick, probably not going to be, you know, maybe not a starting tackle. So they're loaded on the lines. They've got a quarterback that has shown a lot of upside performance-wise, and now they got the wide receivers and the skill guys. I think this is a really good football team.
And this is why I go to this guy as often as I do, a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 podcast, and a dude who's just got it. Will, great job. Appreciate you. Thanks for picking me up. Always good to have you on the show, Will. Thanks.
Always fun, Jim. Talk to you later, man.
Always fun, dude. Always fun. Will Brinson is one of my favorite dudes. He's a funny guy, knows exactly what he's talking about, brings the content, brings the energy. Always a good time.